Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in a few minutes is going to be Steve Kolaszewski. Well, here we are. It's March, and if you've been watching VFN TV, we've been speaking and sharing about how this is a significant period of time. We want to encourage you to stay with us this week as we are going to be talking about Israel this entire week by the grace of God. Right now, as we speak, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is here in the United States. He's actually scheduled to speak to a joint session of Congress, and it's a very, very important speech. He's going to bring awareness to Iran and what they're doing and the threat that they possess, I mean, towards Israel. And he's going to warn this nation, he's going to warn the leaders, and warn the leaders of the world. You know, we've been talking about how March the 17th is the Israeli election. March the 31st is the deadline for the Iran deal, nuclear deal, that's going to allow them to have nuclear weapons before, the time that we've actually agreed to in times past. They've accelerated it. And then, of course, April the 4th is the third of the four blood moons. This is a very important strategic time for you to be awake, for you to pay attention, for you to be alert, and for you to be prayerful. Today we're going to be having Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to AIPAC. You don't want to miss it. We're going to have it in its detail. But before we do, we're going to share with you a message here by Christine Darg. She is with Jerusalem TV, and she's going to be outlining the significant time that we're living in and the moment right now that the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is speaking to the United States. It's like during the time of Esther. I mean, this is that moment. The timing and the significance are huge, and we need to know as the church the times that we're living in and how we need to approach the season that we're in. We need to pray. We need to stand with Israel publicly and with our voices. I want you to watch this video. Watch this.
There's a prophetic warning from the book of Esther, found in chapter 4 in verse 14. It says, "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." From time to time, our exploits ministry is led to call upon believers everywhere to take a stand. At this critical time, Israel's prime minister needs our prayers and fasting, as he is almost a lone voice crying in the wilderness against the tyranny of the leadership in Iran, who want to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Israel's battle is also the battle of all who love freedom. The fast of Esther takes place during Purim, the Jewish holiday that celebrates the biblical victory of the Jews over annihilation and genocide. The nation of Iran today mirrors that spiritual battle fought centuries ago in the pages of the Bible. The Jews' ancient enemy in the Persian Empire was named Haman. And in our parish generation, we have seen Hitler. And now Hamas, Hezbollah, and a new Haman spirit arising in Iran. In fact, according to the sages, in every generation, Israel's ancient enemy, Amalek, arises to try to destroy them through anti-Semitism. Now fast-forwarding millennia, the Persians, the Iranians, dangerously are on the verge of a nuclear threshold. Netanyahu will address the American Congress on Tuesday, March the 3rd, the eve of the Esther fast. Will the world listen? I believe that he's on a divine mission and that our prayers and fastings will make a difference. Believers everywhere have the privilege to stand with the God of Israel by using the spiritual means of both fasting and praying to strengthen Netanyahu's voice and the resolve of our leaders at this time. Each year on the 13th of Adar on the Hebrew calendar is the fast of Esther, And this year, that equates on Western calendars to begin on Wednesday, March the 4th. So Netanyahu's speech is scheduled for the eve of the Esther fast, Tuesday, March 3. Will you fast and pray before, during, or after this historic speech? The biblical fast described in the book of Esther was observed by Queen Esther, her relative Mordechai, Esther's handmaidens, and all of Israel. On that very day, the enemies of the Jews had planned to subjugate and to destroy them. However, the opposite occurred, and the Jews ruled over their enemies because of fasting and prayer. This biblical practice was observed by the people of Israel whenever they were faced by war, and Jesus said that his disciples will fast as part of our spiritual warfare. Israel needs the church at this time. Moses, for example, fasted when Israel had to wage war against Amalek. The aim of a national fast affirms that a nation doesn't prevail by its physical or military strength, but only by lifting our eyes towards heaven in prayer, so that divine mercy might grant us the strength and wisdom to prevail against our enemies. This, then, was the purpose of the fast observed by Israel at the time of Haman. They gathered to defend themselves against those who sought to destroy them. And in memory of that fast, a yearly fast was fixed for generations, and it's alluded to in the scroll of Esther. It says that they accepted upon themselves and upon their children the matters of their fastings and their cry. And so the fast is named after Queen Esther because she took the initiative to intercede with the king on behalf of her people. And she instructed her relative Mordechai to gather all the Jews in the province of Shushan to fast along with her and her handmaidens. And they fasted from both food and drink for 3 days, night and day. Well, I believe never has an Esther fast been more important than right now, when the Prime Minister of Israel is on this historic journey to expose the truth about the dangers of Islamic terrorism. And the Obama administration has unfortunately greatly opposed the speech. But the world simply must wake up. So how do we fast and pray for Netanyahu and for our leaders at this strategic time? I always say that first and foremost, we must be led by the Holy Spirit when we fast and pray. Some people will be led to do a total fast and some only a partial fast. The Esther fast, which the Jewish people observe nowadays, is not carried out for a 3-day period, as was the case in the Bible with the original Esther fast. Today, the Esther fast is primarily a memorial to the original 3-day fast, which was observed, as I said, day and night. But today, pregnant women, nursing mothers, as well as others who might be generally weak in health, don't need to fast the whole 3 days. But I believe God is looking for our prayers and our cries to the Lord for mercy and for help. That certainly is in order.
Here we are. We're on the eve of the Esther fast. And here the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to speak to a joint session of Congress, to our leaders, and to the leaders of the world. I want to encourage you, when all nations are turning their backs on Israel, when you see anti-Semitism on the rise, which is basically racism towards the Jews, as a believer, it's time for you to stand publicly and boldly for Israel, to support them in everything that you do, in particularly prayer. Listen, there is evil out there, and they want to eradicate and wipe Israel off the face of the map. They're completely surrounded by their enemies. And at their widest point, the country is only 60 miles wide. But I want to encourage you, God is a defender of Israel. He hears our prayers, and we can partner with him because he is the true Iron Dome. He's going to protect Israel, but we must stay vigilant, we must be alert, and we must continue to pray and to stand. When we get back from this break, we're going to bring you Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech from AIPAC. You don't want to miss it. It's encouraging, and you're going to be moved with great encouragement as you see a leader defend his nation. Here we are. We're on the verge of AIPAC. Mm-hmm. I mean, here we are, Steve. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is getting ready to address the joint session of Congress today, actually. Mm-hmm. He spoke to AIPAC yesterday, and that's the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have that speech. I mean, I think a lot of people today in America and nations of the world, they hear about all these sound bites, if you will, on the right. news about Israel, about the Middle East. And I think that after a while, they begin to check out. They begin not to pay attention anymore. And they fail to recognize the actual real threat that exists. You know, just not too long ago, over during Protective Edge, we saw what Hamas was willing to do. When you're putting your rocket missiles next mm-hmm. to children in hopes that Israel will actually return fire and kill innocent children, what are you dealing with? When you're dealing with people that want to build underground tunnels to get into your country mm-hmm. and not use the resources that was meant to build mosques for them, to build schools for them, to help build their communities. No, they use the cement and the resources to build underground tunnels so that they can continue to do more harm and, of course, blame Israel.
Right.
And so here, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's coming to the United States under what seems to be a lot of craziness. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, because the president did not invite him. It was the House Speaker, John Boehner, who invited him to speak before Congress. Mm-hmm. And they said he went out of protocol. The truth is that, listen, there's never been a more important time for the prime minister to come to address our nation.
Exactly.
And Congress is 100% pro-Israel.
Right.
This is not a Republican thing, a Democratic thing. This is an American thing. We have Judeo-Christian roots, which we're going to be talking about our shared values. It's amazing. We've talked about this mm-hmm. extensively. In fact, we did a series called Rediscovering God in America. Newt Gingrich wrote a book in which he outlined how the church has always been evolving the public square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can just look at the basically history and the establishment, the original intent of this nation, and see the Judeo-Christian values woven into every single portion of this nation. And it's just, it's no question that we are a Judeo-Christian nation.
No question at all. And so even the Senate 100% voted that yes, because there were reports that they were going to defect, if you will, or mm-hmm. not be supportive of the prime minister coming to speak, but that didn't happen. Of course, 100% vote
right.
in favor of him speaking and supporting Israel. So we don't want to forget that. But before we bring you Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to AIPAC that was just given, we want to share with you a synopsis of what AIPAC actually is. Because you hear the word AIPAC. What is AIPAC? Mm-hmm. Well, it stands for American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And they have a great promo to kind of shares their vision on what they're all about and what they're trying to do in terms of raising support for Israel. Watch this.
This is Israel. The Jewish state is in a dangerous neighborhood and under constant threat from rockets, terrorists, and those seeking its destruction. Israel relies on its ally America in order to confront all challenges it faces. And the best way to guarantee that the United States continues to stand by Israel is through bipartisan support in Congress. That is where AIPAC comes in. AIPAC is focused exclusively on strengthening the U.S.-Israel relationship. Because Israel's security is too important to risk only working with one party or the other, we work with both parties to ensure Democrats and Republicans come together to keep Israel safe. AIPAC members nationwide, which include Americans of all ages, faiths, and races, build personal ties with senators and representatives to ensure that we are effective in strengthening America and Israel. We influence American policy not by rating or endorsing candidates, but by educating them. This ensures that no matter which party is in power, there is consensus that Israel's security is an American priority that both Democrats and Republicans support. You can make a difference. Talk to an AIPAC staff member or visit our website to learn more about how you can help keep Israel safe, strong, and secure.
Wow. AIPAC. Wow, what a great organization, and we're thankful for the work that they do, as well as CUFI, Christians United for Israel, started by Pastor John Hagee in San Antonio, Texas. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to have organizations like this that educate us on what's really happening, because you see a lot of propaganda, a lot of mm-hmm. videos, a lot of social media that would cause you to think that Israel was the one that was doing all of this harm, right. when in fact they've been a blessed nation who's been willing to share mm-hmm. their blessings. They've been willing to give back land. They've been and have given back land. They've shared their medical technology and their inventions. Even in the midst of Syria, where Assad mm-hmm. is bombing his own people, those the Syrians that are getting hurt are actually coming to near the Golan Heights to get medical treatment from Israel.
From Israeli doctors. Providing medical care. And it's just like, what a portion of Israel that the world and even I would venture to say many Americans don't have that perspective, is that the very people that are coming against Israel, they're getting attacked or they're getting injured by bombs or injured by whatever weapons, and the Israeli doctors are providing care for them.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I had some chance a time ago to be in Israel, and it's really a very small place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's small. I was on the Lebanon border, I believe it was Matula. And literally, I mean, I could see into Lebanon right from where, you know, we were at. It's like right. just a checkpoint type, if you will. And I was up near the Golan Heights. And it's really, really small. But I've never felt safer in any place mm-hmm. than I have when I've been to Israel. And so you would think that, oh, it's dangerous. I remember being in Tel Aviv, which is one of the largest cities in Israel,
right.
midnight, and looking out my hotel window and seeing little kids, you know, riding up and down with their bikes. And so I encourage you, if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, it is a trip of a lifetime, and you won't regret your trip. But we're excited mm-hmm. because BB's here.
Amen.
BB is in, he is in Washington, D.C., and it's so refreshing to hear the prime minister speak. It's wonderful to see leadership,
yes.
bold leadership.
Clear voice,
yeah. clear vision. No, without any, you know, hesitation, pro-Israel, and will do anything within his power to defend. Listen, when you're that small, you've got to be clear on your expectations, clear on what you're going to do, and you have to deliver, because you
yes.
only get one chance to do it.
Yeah.
And they have a remarkable history of being able to deliver on the things that they've said they were going to do. I'm reminded of a time, and I'm deviating a little bit, even during, I believe it was one of the Olympics, where they actually kidnapped some of their Olympians, and mm-hmm. I believe that some of them perished. Well, the Mossad, it took them a while, but they got every single one of those guys that were involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a clear message that you don't want to mess with Israel. And not just because of Mossad and because of their strength. It's because God is on their side. God is on their side.
Yeah.
God is going to defend and protect Israel. And woe to the nations. Woe to the people that would try to do mm-hmm. harm to them. It doesn't end well for them. It really doesn't. When you realize that that nation is so small, it's surrounded by its enemies, and the whole world's in a stir over a city, Jerusalem. The whole world is in a stir, the entire Middle East.
Yeah.
Because why? Because of Israel? Listen, this is important. This is important to God. We don't want Iran to get these nuclear weapons. I want you to listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. When we get back from this break, he is going to share a little bit about why he's here in Washington, D.C. You're going to be encouraged to see his leadership and his clear message. We want to bring you Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speak just shared yesterday. You don't want to miss it, where he's addressing a delegation of 16,000 people who've come to Washington, D.C. They're at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. I want you to listen and be encouraged. Watch and be inspired. And hopefully you'll get involved. And most of all, you'll pray. Watch this.
Wow. 16,000 people. Anyone here from California? Florida? New York? Well, these are the easy ones. How about Colorado? Indiana? I think I got it. Montana? Texas? You're here in record numbers. You're here from coast to coast, from every part of this great land. And you're here at a critical time. You're here to tell the world that reports of the demise of the Israeli-U.S. relations is not only premature, they're just wrong. You're here to tell the world that our alliance is stronger than ever. And because of you, and millions like you across this great country, it's going to get even stronger in the coming years. Thank you, Bob Cohen, Michael Kasson, Howard Kaur, and all the leadership of AIPAC. Thank you. For your tireless, dedicated work to strengthen the partnership between Israel and the United States. I want to thank most especially members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans. I deeply appreciate your steadfast support for Israel year in, year out. You have our boundless gratitude. I want to welcome President Zeman of the Czech Republic. Mr. President, Israel never forgets its friends, and the Czech people have always been steadfast friends of Israel, the Jewish people, from the days of Thomas Masaryk at the inception of Zionism. You know, Mr. President, when I entered the Israeli army in 1967, I received a Czech rifle. That was one of the rifles that was given to us by your people in our time of need in 1948. So thank you for being here today. Also here are two great friends of Israel, former Prime Minister of Spain, José María Aznar, and as of last month, former Canadian Foreign Minister John Baird, thank you both for your unwavering support. You are true champions of Israel, and you are true champions of the truth. And I want to recognize the two Rons. I want to thank Ambassador Ron Prosor for the exemplary job he's doing at the UN in a very difficult forum. Thank you. And I want to recognize the other Ron, a man who knows how to take the heat, Israel's ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer. Ron, I couldn't be prouder to have you representing Israel in Washington. And finally, I want to recognize my wife, Sarah, whose courage in the face of adversity is an inspiration to me. Sarah divides her time as a child psychologist, as a loving mother, and her public duties as the wife of the Prime Minister. Sarah, I'm so proud to have with you, to have you here with me today, to have you with me at my side always. And I also bring to you news that you may not have heard. See, I'll be speaking in Congress tomorrow. You know, never has so much been written about a speech that hasn't been given. And I'm not going to speak today about the content of that speech, but I do want to say a few words about the purpose of that speech. First, let me clarify what is not the purpose of that speech. My speech is not intended to show any disrespect to President Obama or the esteemed office that he holds. I have great respect for both. I deeply appreciate all that President Obama has done for Israel: security cooperation, intelligence sharing, supported the UN, and much more, some things that I, as Prime Minister of Israel, cannot even divulge to you because it remains in the realm of the confidences that are kept between an American president and an Israeli prime minister. I am deeply grateful for this support, and so should you be. My speech is also not intended to inject Israel into the American partisan debate. An important reason why our alliance has grown stronger, decade after decade, is that it has been championed by both parties, and so it must remain. Both Democratic and Republican presidents have worked together with friends from both sides of the aisle in Congress to strengthen Israel and our alliance between our two countries. And working together, they've provided Israel with generous military assistance and missile defense spending. We've seen how important that is just last summer. Working together, they've made Israel the first free trade partner of America 30 years ago and its first official strategic partner last year. They've backed Israel in defending itself at war and in our efforts to achieve a durable peace with our neighbors. Working together has made Israel stronger. Working together has made our alliance stronger. And that's why the last thing that anyone who cares about Israel, the last thing that I would want, is for Israel to become a partisan issue. And I regret that some people have misperceived my visit here this week as doing that. Israel has always been a bipartisan issue. Israel should always remain a bipartisan issue. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of my address to Congress tomorrow is to speak up about a potential deal with Iran that could threaten the survival of Israel. Iran is the foremost state sponsor of terrorism in the world, Look at that graph. Look at that map that you see on the wall. It shows Iran training, arming, dispatching terrorists on five continents. Iran envelops the entire world with its tentacles of terror. This is what Iran is doing now without nuclear weapons. Imagine what Iran would do with nuclear weapons. And this same Iran vows to annihilate Israel. If it develops nuclear weapons, it would have the means to achieve that goal. We must not let that happen. And as Prime Minister of Israel, I have a moral obligation to speak up in the face of these dangers while there's still time to avert them. For 2,000 years, my people, the Jewish people, were stateless, defenseless, voiceless. We were utterly powerless against our enemies who swore to destroy us. We suffered relentless persecution and horrific attacks. We could never speak in our own behalf, and we could not defend ourselves. Well, no more. No more. The days when the Jewish people are passive in the face of threats to annihilate us, those days are over. Today in our sovereign state of Israel,
you just heard the Prime Minister say that the days of the Jewish state being passive is no longer, no more. And it's so important. I mean, because sometimes we can hear things and we can watch things and it can kind of just roll right over us and we miss the moment. But understand that I have never seen a nation, including the United States, be so patient with other nations, with terrorists, if you will, that have tried to attack Israel, whether it's suicide bombs, whether it's rockets from Hamas, whether it's what Iran is doing covertly, whether it's Hezbollah in Lebanon, whether it is ISIS. I mean, Israel has just been patient, whether it's the Palestinians in which they've with the intifadas. I mean, when you go back and you realize, wow, who could take that type of pressure? Who can continue to take that type of assault? And as citizens, who can continue to live in the crosshairs, in the crosshairs of their enemies every day, day in and day out? And after a certain time, you would imagine that even the strongest person would break and say, that's enough. And so they've have, you know, extreme resolve. And I remember when the Prime Minister spoke at the United Nations and he drew the red line and he drew the bomb in regards to Iran and their ability to produce that nuclear weapon. They already have the missiles that can fire into Israel. All they need is this nuclear weapon to attach itself to the missile, and there goes Israel. I mean, this is so serious. It was in that same speech, I believe, where the Prime Minister said, America, this Scud is for you.
That's right.
I mean, it's not – they've always had the ability to strike Israel.
Yeah.
What they're working on is the ability to strike the United States. The first one is to Israel. The next one is to us. And it's very encouraging to hear the Prime Minister say that, you know what? No more.
Mm-hmm.
No more. There's no passivity here. And we will, make it clear, defend ourselves. We want to bring you right back to AIPAC and bring you to the Prime Minister's speech. But pay close attention as he delivers some really awesome wisdom and a clear-cut vision for what's going to be unfolding next. Watch this.
Today in our sovereign state of Israel, we defend ourselves. And being able to defend ourselves, we ally with others, most importantly the United States of America, to defend our common civilization against common threats. In our part of the world, and increasingly in every part of the world. No one makes alliances with the weak. You seek out those who have strength, those who have resolve, those who have determination to fight for themselves. That's how alliances are formed. So we defend ourselves, and in so doing, create the basis of a broader alliance. And today, we are no longer silent. Today, we have a voice. And being able to defend ourselves, we ally with others, most importantly, the United States of America, to defend our common civilization against common threats. In our part of the world, and increasingly in every part of the world, no one makes alliances with the weak. You seek out those who have strength, those who have resolve, those who have determination to fight for themselves. That's how alliances are formed. So we defend ourselves, and in so doing, create the basis of a broader alliance. And today, we are no longer silent. Today, we have a voice. And tomorrow, as Prime Minister of the one and only Jewish state, I plan to use that voice. I plan to speak about an Iranian regime that is threatening to destroy Israel, that's devouring country after country in the Middle East, that's exporting terror throughout the world, and that is developing, as we speak, the capacity to make nuclear weapons, lots of them. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel and the United States agree that Iran should not have nuclear weapons. But we disagree on the best way to prevent Iran from developing those weapons. Now, disagreements among allies are only natural from time to time, even among the closest of allies. Because there are important differences between America and Israel. The United States of America is a large country, one of the largest. Israel is a small country, one of the smallest. America lives in one of the world's safest neighborhoods. Israel lives in the world's most dangerous neighborhood. America is the strongest power in the world. Israel is strong, but it's much more vulnerable. American leaders worry about the security of their country. Israeli leaders worry about the survival of their country. You know, I think that encapsulates the difference. I've been Prime Minister of Israel for 9 years. There's not a single day, not one day, that I didn't think about the survival of my country and the actions that I take to ensure that survival. Not one day. And because of these differences, America and Israel have had some serious disagreements over the course of our nearly 70-year-old friendship. That started with the beginning. In 1948, Secretary of State George Marshall opposed David Ben-Gurion's intention to declare statehood. That's an understatement. He vehemently opposed it. But Ben-Gurion, understanding what was at stake, went ahead and declared Israel's independence. In 1967, as an Arab noose was tightening around Israel's neck, the United States warned Prime Minister Levi Eshkol that if Israel acted alone, it would be alone. But Israel did act, acted alone to defend itself. In 1981, under the leadership of Prime Minister Menachem Begin, Israel destroyed the nuclear reactor at Osirak. The United States criticized Israel and suspended arms transfers for 3 months. And in 2002, after the worst wave of Palestinian terror attacks in Israel's history, Prime Minister Sharon launched Operation Defensive Shield. The United States demanded that Israel withdraw its troops immediately, but Sharon continued until the operation was completed. There's a reason I mention all these. I mention them to make a point. Despite occasional disagreements, the friendship between America and Israel grew stronger and stronger, decade after decade. And our friendship will weather the current disagreement as well to grow even stronger in the future. And I'll tell you why. Because we share the same dreams. Because we pray and hope and aspire for that same better world. Because the values that unite us are much stronger than the differences that divide us. Values like liberty, equality, justice, tolerance, compassion. As our region descends into medieval barbarism, Israel is the one that upholds these values common to us and to you. As women in the region are repressed, enslaved, and raped, women in Israel serve as chief justices, CEOs, fighter pilots. Two women chief justices in a row. Well, not in a row, but in succession. That's pretty good. In a dark and savage and desperate Middle East, Israel is a beacon of humanity, of light, and of hope. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel and the United States will continue to stand together because America and Israel are more than friends. We're like a family. We're practically mishpucha. Now, disagreements in the family are always uncomfortable, but we must always remember that we are family. Rooted in a common heritage, upholding common values, sharing a common destiny. And that's the message I came to tell you today. Our alliance is sound, our friendship is strong, and with your efforts, it will get even stronger in the years to come. Thank you, APAC. Thank you, America. God bless you all.
What an amazing speech. What an amazing speech. Refreshing.
Powerful. Yes.
Leadership. Listen, our alliance is strong. It's just like a father that comes in and says, settle down. Cut all that out. Let me tell you how it is here. Okay. Let me just tell you how it is. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. We just have some disagreements, but I'm going to be clear about where we're at and this is how it's going to be. And just kind of lead there a little bit and just kind of make, you know, just be quiet, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's deal with the real issues. And I just love how he came in there and just said the truth. You know, we are family. We're going to have disagreements. If you've been involved in a family any length of time, you're going to understand
normal.
That you're going to have some disagreements. Yes. Everyone's not going to meet eye to eye on everything. But at the end of the day, you work them out because you're family.
We're still in Mishpacha.
Yeah, well, listen, we want to pray with you as we pray for Israel. Let's join together as we close out today's program. Father, Lord, we thank you for the awesome opportunity we have, Lord, to commune with you. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. And together, God, We stand in the gap for Israel, yes. Lord. You said you've looked for someone to stand in the gap, Lord. Well, here we are. We're standing in the gap, and we ask you, Lord, to protect Israel, to protect Jerusalem, Lord, and that you would bring, God, safety, security to the Jewish people. Father, we pray for the speech, Lord, and we pray that Iran would be stopped in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.